Get 12 weeks of The Spectator in print and online for just £12. And we'll give you a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, The Spectator's daily political podcast. I'm Katie Balls, and today I'm joined by a panel of three people in the shape of Fraser Nelson, James Forsyth and Kate Andrews, and it is budget day. We've just heard from Rishi Sunak and we have been presented with the biggest tax raising budget since Norman the Month's final budget. He was sacked a couple of months later. James, does the same await Rishi Sunak?
I doubt it.
He's toast, isn't he, James?
I thought what was interesting about this budget was how it went bigger, both in terms of support, with the furlough scheme being extended all the way out until the end of September, but also bigger on tax rises. Corporation tax going up to 25p in 2023. Lots of people have thought that the 25p kite that was floating around in the weeks leading up to the budget was designed so that when the rate went up to 23p, say, people would be pleasantly surprised. And I think this reflects a view on the crisis, which is the kind of Sunak approach being to kind of go big on spending within the crisis, in the belief that that sets the economy up for a fairly rapid rebound once the pandemic is over. But the corporation tax hike, I think, is a sign that he is a fiscal conservative and that he thinks that you need to do something to put public finances on a steadier footing. As Kate writes in the magazine this week, he does worry about the cost of servicing the debt going up, and it wouldn't need to go up that much to be problematic. And I think what is interesting in the initial reaction is that perhaps the death of fiscal conservatism in the Tory party has been overwritten, because now it's only 4:20 when we say this, and so it's 3 hours in time. But we haven't seen a great backlash to this increase in corporation tax. Now, partly that's because it's not coming in straight away. Partly it's because of this so-called super deduction. So for the next 2 years, you've got more than full expensing for capital investment. But I think it does also, I think there is a sense that, you know, it's quite hard to hear, but the country's borrowed £355 billion this year and not think that something needs to be done in terms of righting the public finances. And it is harder, I think, to cut spending now because essentially George Osborne picked all the low-hanging fruit, you know, shifting the basis of pension, the inflation index he used for pensions, big saving, already been done. And so I think that I think, is an interesting recognition. I think that the gamble today was that the Tory party still has a kind of fiscally conservative instinct in it. And very early days, but 3 hours later, it does seem to have been correct.
Kate, when it comes to the budget, James mentions the corporation tax hike, which is higher than I think some expected. But what were the other headline measures in this budget, the good, the bad and the ugly?
I suppose it depends on how you define good and bad and ugly. If you're somebody who likes a giveaway, then there is plenty for you. He announced £65 billion of additional spending. That's going to range from extending universal credit and furlough for months longer. Incentive for payments for business to take on apprenticeships has doubled. He's launched restart grants, which is going to be £5 billion worth to help businesses get back on their feet. Cuts to business rates, the VAT holiday, stamp duty holiday, these are all temporarily slashed and continued. As you say, Katie, it wasn't all giveaways. We have that big hike in corporation tax. It's a tiered system now, so small businesses aren't going to be paying that top 25% rate. They'll still be paying 19%. But it's estimated that by 2025, businesses will be handing over an additional £50 billion to the Treasury. And the Chancellor also has frozen the personal threshold for income tax. Now, this is key, actually, because this is always dubbed a stealth tax. It drags more people into higher rates of tax as their wages go up and the thresholds don't move with it. I did find it interesting, given the Chancellor was speaking so much about honesty, that he was very clear today that this was a tax rise. Very often people will try to say, oh, it's not a real tax rise, it's just a bit of a freeze. But the Chancellor was really honest, I think, for exactly the reasons that James has laid out. We have borrowed just really eye-watering amounts of money. And what's crucial to remember is that this is no longer, as was once argued, a one-off spend. Yes, you can argue that last year, this year is wartime spending, but next year we're forecast to still be borrowing £234 billion. And by the time you get to 2024-25, we're still borrowing over £100 billion. This is now morphing into day-to-day spending. And if that continues, for all the reasons that James lays out, the Chancellor will become increasingly uncomfortable. So he's trying to balance it. I guess the lingering question is, what will these tax raises do to the economy growing when we are finally able to lift restrictions? And a lot of people are going to argue that the tax burden is going to stifle that growth. So something the Chancellor will have to address.
Fraser, Kate mentions Rishi Sunak's insistence that he was taking an honest approach. He did seem to enjoy saying the word honesty during that budget numerous times. Do you think that this is ultimately the way Rishi Sunak is going to sell these tax rises to the public and also to MPs?
I think this is his overall theme. He worries that his party won't just spend like there's no tomorrow and haven't, or rather forgotten, that today's spending splurge is tomorrow's tax rise. That if you will the ends, you will need to will the means, and that you need to be honest with yourself if you're a politician by thinking, well, if I want to spend this extra money, then I'm going to have to take it out of people's pockets to pay for it. I think he feels rather alone in trying to make this case. I think he feels most of his party are now worshippers of the magic money tree, which they claim to despise in the last general election. And I do think that he's got a point there. And it's funny that Kate and I were just talking afterwards of how the Rishi Sunak budgets are different to the Gordon Brown budgets. In the Gordon Brown budgets, he would say one thing, but he'd do another. So he had to go through all of the small print afterwards, trying to find out what he'd really done. And George Osborne, I'm afraid to say, was not much better. So he would, for example, link benefits to CPI inflation rather than RPI. Absolutely huge move, which shaved billions off the rate of benefits. But he wouldn't actually admit during the budget speech that what he was doing would have such big impacts. With Rishi Sunak, so far, what he says is what you get. You're reading through the small print, and I've been doing it this afternoon, and there's no real disalignment between the message he gave in the chamber and what he's planning for the country. And that said, you know, I did think he wasn't dispensing hard truths, really. It was Father Christmas mode, really. It was 100 million here and billions there, all of which should be paid for by massively more borrowing. And James's political column in next week's magazine, he points out that Rishi Sunak's first budget a year ago contained £30 billion of COVID measures. The cost for the COVID measures has now risen to £344 billion. It is just unbelievable how much he's had to borrow, how much he's had to spend and spending. That's why corporation tax is going up for the first time since Dennis Healey raised it in 1974. But we can't really see this as a normal budget. He is trying to cash the checks that Boris Johnson is writing. The economic wind is being made in number 10, not by number 11. Boris Johnson's given them a list of taxes he can't raise, which is, by the way, most of them. That's in the manifesto. A list of things that Boris wants to spend money on. That list gets bigger and bigger. It doesn't really leave a chancellor with much room for manoeuvre. But one thing that I have noticed in the small print is that he assumes that all the extra COVID spending, that £344 billion, is going to come to an abrupt halt beyond next year. Of course, it won't. Because if you look at the roadmap, that envisages lots more vaccination. That isn't costed. Then look at the cost of the repair of the social and economic damage. That isn't costed. There are a lot more COVID costs which are inevitable, which have not been put into this budget. So I think that is the bad news, which he's saving for a future budget.
James, what about Labour and all this? Because even in recent days, when Rishi Sunak has come under fire preemptively for this budget, David Cameron warning against tax rises, lots of Tory MPs threatening to rebel on a confidence issue, I think the Treasury have been able to take some comfort from the fact that Labour have been tying themselves in knots on issues like corporation tax. So how did Keir Starmer handle what was announced today?
The tangle Labour have got themselves into over corporation tax is slightly bizarre, because sometimes pre-budget traps are set for the opposition. This wasn't a trap set for the opposition. They walked into this thing of saying that they're terribly opposed to the idea of increasing corporation tax straight away, when the increase in corporation tax is deferred. It doesn't take place until the economy has recovered to its pre-COVID peak. And so it's left them in a rather odd position. And I think the other point is that it's not a credible argument that Labour are a more pro-business party than the Tories. It's too soon after Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell for Labour to attempt that repositioning, to my mind. And so I think you had this kind of slightly Labour getting themselves in an opposition with Keir Starmer saying he was opposed to a corporation tax rise, and Labour people saying, well, hang on a second, we're still on a manifesto proposing a corporation tax rise. What's going on? So I think Labour got in trouble there. I also think there's another thing here, which is every government and every major economy has spent big to deal with COVID. And I think, as Kate's piece points out in the coming issue of the magazine, every government other than the US, which has a reserve, the kind of global reserve currency, is beginning to worry a bit about what might happen with inflation and interest rates. Everyone is going to have to work out ways to raise more revenue. And I think that likely means that taxing business, or certainly big business profits, is going to become a tool of choice for governments. It is probably politically, in almost any system, the easiest step to take. And remember, on corporation tax, you just have to be the least ugly baby in the building, right? So I think this rise in corporation tax, people predicting the effect on investment, you have to think through where you think everyone else, in terms of alternative venues for that investment, are going to be in corporation tax by the time you get to that moment.
Kate, we've heard mention of your cover piece a few times now in this podcast. Rishi Sunak today was talking about interest rates, about how you cannot rely on things staying low for long, as some in the party do seem to think they will. And we also heard David Davis in the chamber in the debate making a similar argument that interest rates aren't about to change. So can you talk us through what the Chancellor sees as a potential danger here and what you see it as?
Yeah, so the Chancellor mentioned interest rates and inflation as rates that could start to tick upwards and put the UK's finances in a fairly perilous position. Now, he wasn't very big on that in the House today. He was fairly quiet on it, which he usually is. But I think when you dig down, and as the piece out tomorrow discusses, this is a real driving force behind the tax rises that you're seeing today. The public discourse is that the Chancellor wants to pay down the debt. I don't think the Chancellor has any kind of dream of paying down the £2.8 trillion worth of debt that the UK currently has racked up. This is a much more immediate concern that just the smallest movement in gilt rate, interest rates or inflation could see him in a situation where he has to find tens of billions of pounds that he just doesn't have right now in order to service the debt. And let's remember that servicing that debt, you know, doesn't result in more police officers, it doesn't result in more teachers. You know, it's money that you've already spent that you're servicing. It could become very politically painful if he's making tough choices, potentially looking at spending cuts that he never wanted to make. So he's trying to create some resilience back in the state of the UK public finances. He's trying to provide himself with some cover because he knows it's not just about what happens here in the UK, it's what happens in America. If Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion stimulus package ends up moving rates over there, I mean, something that happens in America is going to impact on the world economy. So I think the Chancellor and the Treasury see this very much as a touch and go situation. It's not something that Rishi Sunak really likes to talk about, maybe because it's technical, maybe because it's actually quite scary. But I think it is the driving force behind these tax rises.
I think we should just tell the listener at home that the noise you can hear was the arrival of Fraser Nelson's kebab, which is now here and being suitably
chicken
tucked into.
Chicken shawarma wrap?
It's lamb, actually. I've decided to various little bits. It's 4:30. I haven't had lunch yet.
I know. I had a double cheeseburger, though, just before, so slightly beat.
What this podcast has brought to you by Deliveroo.
If only they would actually give us money and sponsor it. Anyway, with that, we'll end today's podcast. Thank you, James. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, Fraser. And thank you for listening.